Good afternoon. We are continuing our study of the healing seminars or New Dimensions in Healing, which were the Kauai 1989 tapes, preparation tapes, and the Chicago 1990 seminar classes. And this is Class 6, Light Bodies. Now he starts with discussing John and the revelation of St. John and a bit of history, and it's kind of interesting. I know he really wanted to get the revelation of St. John the Divine published, and we finally did that, so I'm glad. All right. I want to thank you for all your notes and all your gifts and just your love, your outpouring of love, because I lost my wife 2 days ago, and she is, well, she's not here. She's here in consciousness, but not here on Earth. So some of you know that can be difficult, and you sent your love and your cards and flowers and gifts, and I thank you. Getting back to this study, Herb says the printing press had been invented 2 centuries before, and people had started reading the word. By the 18th century, metaphysical interpretations began to appear. But the truth remained underground because truth is too revolutionary, too upsetting, and far too astounding. Even now. Fortunately, John left us another legacy which was not in the revelation. In his gospel, before revelation, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all men." And Herb says, "I hope that phrase remains in your consciousness for a long time, until you begin to realize the truth that Christ's life is the invisible, ever presenting its perfection in every man, because for 2,000 years we had lost that light." You know what? Speaking of light, I would like right now to have a little meditation and send forth the light that you have. Pour forth that light, so that it streams forth from all over the world and finds Madeline where she is in consciousness. Let's do that now, so she can see that the light is still working. I am still working for the light. And yes, where you appear to be, I am. I am the light of the world. Thank you. So, he says, "We have not understood it. We have not obeyed it. We have lived without it. But the light is still you. It will always be you, and everything that it is, you are. That light is infinite, perfect, eternal. And when you can trace yourself back to who you are, you will discover that you are the light of Christ, the light we have lost, the light that we must now find. You walk around as a human being, unaware of the light within, the wholeness within, the perfection within. And because you live without the light of your own true being, and you live with others who are blind to it, you are said to see through a glass darkly. Men live in a time where they're absorbed in their own work, completely unaware that the light which goes all through the universe, and which is also at the center of their being, is Christ. They are not aware of it. Now, you are becoming aware of this Christ. You are aware of the great light, the great secret of life. That is the light of all men. It is everywhere, so vast, so powerful, and yet we cannot see it. It is thousands of decibels above our vision, but it is here, and it is us. I had a dream one time, and it was one of those dreams that lets you know this is a lesson. And so, in the dream, I was sitting on the ground, and next to me there was this really ancient man, like a very old Chinese monk, silver hair, silver goatee, very ancient. And he said, "I want you to feel life's energy, which is the light." So he said, "Close your eyes." And I did. He said, "Now let go of a breath." And I did. "Now breathe in," he said, "through your nose." And as I did, I felt pure white light energy flow to me, through me, into me, from all over the universe. It was so strong that I woke up immediately in bed, wide awake, no transition from sleep to wakefulness. No, right now I was awake. And I called Herb and we discussed it. So, Harp says, "I don't care who you are. When you are not aware of the light, you are walking in darkness. The sun may be shining, but the darkness is your unawareness of the source of life. And while it perpetuates itself, constantly maintains itself, we see things through the glass darkly of human vision. We are looking through the eyes of imagination. All that God made is perfect. Nothing that is imperfect was made. God is not the creator of imperfection. So we are looking at the illusion of our own mind. You've come far, but now you have to get out of the illusion, out of the illusions of the mind, and be born of the Word, which in the beginning was the light of all men, and which still is." Now, it is abundantly clear as we look at these words in their simplicity, we have not seen them before. And here they are. "In the beginning was the Word." And that Word we must call Christ. In the beginning was Christ. Yes, before Abraham was, I, Christ, am. And the Word Christ was with God, and the Word Christ was God. So we are establishing now that Christ has been in the beginning, which means before the beginning. We are now going through the seven realms. Four realms have almost passed. We're now in the fourth, and we have three more realms to go. So when you know the mind realm is the fourth, you start figuring that there are three higher realms: the soul realm, the spirit realm, and the Christ realm, which is eternal life. Now he says, the 12 disciples had to have John the Baptist come down and say, this is the one, follow him, because he is the light. And that is what is meant by the straight and narrow. You can only follow the light of God. So at the beginning of the first century, it was shown by John the Baptist that this is the Christ of God. It was also shown by John what the Christ was. Christ was the whole light. And Jesus, being a representative of Christ, was a light on earth. He was the one on earth who had attained the Christ. So although Jesus and the Christ are the same, Jesus only appears on earth, and Christ is infinite. Jesus exists up to crucifixion. His name then becomes Christ, to show that this is the Christ who had delivered to us the message of Christ as Jesus. Herb is making the distinction that the Christ is the light, and the Christ was within Jesus and within you and within me and within him and within her. Christ says, follow me. Now, where will you follow the Christ who will walk off the earth? And how will you follow the Christ walking off the earth? How do you follow the light? There's only one way. You must be the light. So you see, a major transformation is in the making. Each one of us will be transformed. How? When? No one really knows. But prepare for it. Know it is coming. Each one of us at a different time. When we think not, the bridegroom cometh. But the transformation only happens when you are ready for it. You're not going to the next level while you are imperfect. I can assure you of that. Of course, we have ideas about heaven, all fairy tales, I might add. Heaven is going to be your level of consciousness, which is perfect. That is all heaven will be. But that allness is everything. You're going to live to go into a higher state of consciousness, and when you are ready, when you have been pronounced fit, pure, perfect, you will slide easily out of this consciousness into the higher consciousness. And this is telling you how you are going to do it, how you are going to get ready for it. And I've written in the margin here, take this seriously. Yes, don't just listen to this and say, oh, that was a nice talk. Take this seriously. How do I prepare for this so that I can be lifted into a new consciousness, which will give me a new heaven and a new earth? It's exciting and almost fantastic. It is equally simple when we get used to the idea that we are states of consciousness being made ready for the transformation, the transition to Christ. The transition to Christ consciousness. And when you are aware of the light of Christ, that is Christ consciousness. as we mount the ladder of consciousness slowly, becoming the light that we already are, we are fed by the light. Our bodies change, our thoughts change, the things we see and hear change. And this is the slow, graduated consciousness which takes us up to a level which can look out on a different world. This is how the vision changes, the hearing changes. Everything about us changes, and we become what we thought we were, but we change to the divine image and likeness. When we are the image and likeness of God, we see with God's eyes. We hear with God's ears. Now, let's proceed with the introduction of John. In the beginning was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. You must be Christ now. You don't look it. You don't speak like it. Perhaps you don't feel like it. But you are Christ now. When you get on the ship of Christ, you're on the right ship. There is one infinite ship of light, invisible, and you get on that ship. How do you know you're on it? Well, that's what the whole Bible is about. It gives you instructions on how to get on the ship of Christ. You cannot walk into the Christ as an illusion. You've got to overcome the illusion first. High or low, mighty or lowly, you've got to come to a place where you can make the concession. You give up your opinions, your thoughts. All you can do is to stand in the light and accept it or reject it. As you accept it, you become less mortal. So who do you fool except yourself? Because the light knows itself. We become a transparency to the light, and all of our stupidities, our follies, our mistakes are totally forgotten. You cannot walk in the light with any imperfection, and that's why it has taken what appears to be a long, long time. The imperfections have to come out. Only perfection is possible in the light. It's automatic. When Paul says, "Put on the garment of immortality," he is informing you that your mortality must go. Because mortality is a state of imperfection. Even the best mortal is imperfect. He doesn't have 20/20 vision. When he grows older, he may have a hearing aid. He wears whatever, well, it's a pacemaker is what he's trying to think of. It gives you an extra beat for your heart. Mortality never enters heaven. Mortality cannot be the light. As it becomes clearer that there is a reason for these things, then you are willing to accept them. As a mortal being, you are not admitted to heaven. You are not admissible to the higher realms, because the higher realms require perfection. You can't survive in a higher realm without perfection. When each individual has completed the transformation to the light, civilization will not be the same. It will not be there. Yes, something else will be there, and that something else is the kingdom of light. You know, I used to think, and maybe you did too, I don't know, that I had to be really, really good and on my best behavior at all times, because that's what the religious folks told me. And if you've ever tried to be on your best behavior at all times, you know you can't. I had a very good friend, and he was going to maintain silence for a whole 24 hours. He promised God he would do it. And he did. But he was going to a meeting at a church where he would be required to share. And he didn't know how that was going to happen. How could he share when he is supposed to be maintaining silence? So he gave it to God, and he was walking by a park, and somebody approached him and asked him if he wanted, wanted some extracurricular activity. And automatically he said, no thanks. And just like that, the silence was broken. So he didn't have to worry about it. He went to the church meeting and he shared and everything was fine. No thanks. Okay, so that's the end of side one. Seems like it's going awful fast, doesn't it? We've only got a couple of pages. I better slow down or something, or we'll have ourselves a 30-minute talk. Well, what I wanted to say before is that religion gave us the idea that we had to be on our best behavior. We have to be good. We can't be evil. We have to live by the Ten Commandments. We have to live by the Two Commandments. Oh, we have to be really, really good human beings. And if you've ever tried it, like my friend, you can't make it. And you know you can't make it. Something comes along and no thanks. Oh, I just blew my silence. Or whatever it is. Maybe you've decided, now I know it's selfish to take that last piece of cake. You know, but it's chocolate with chocolate icing. And there's a little slit in the middle with more chocolate. I think it's chocolate pudding. Oh my God, it's chocolate dreamer's delight. But there's only one piece left, and everybody's had one. And now you are the person with the power. Everybody's in bed. And it's just you and the refrigerator. So down you go. Open that refrigerator, get that piece out. You eat it, and probably on the last bite you remember, Oh no, I was going to save that. I was going to save that for Emily, and now I've eaten it. So, when you try on your own power to be good, that's not what he means by be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father. It's so totally different than what we were taught. Well, then what does it mean, be ye therefore perfect? What does it mean when he says, you can't enter the higher realms unless you bring perfection? What he means is, within yourself, if you've practiced meditation enough to where you have begun to feel the presence and have begun to rest in it, and if you've practiced the healing principles and have begun to see results, then you are ready to enter the higher realms. Indeed, it's by practicing the healing principles that you come in contact with this inner presence that moves things around and reveals its harmony, reveals its perfection. That's the perfection that you're supposed to bring. The one you touch in your meditation. That perfection will bring you to the higher realms. But that perfection doesn't belong to a mortal, does it? No, that perfection belongs to the immortal, incorporeal presence, the perfect presence that you are. He says, what happened to the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world? How does one become aware of one's own light? Jesus said, I am the light. That's exactly his words. And that's exactly what John discovered. He too was the light. He who followeth me will walk in darkness no more. But this is from self to self, promised here right in this series of verses, for you and for me and for the world. A promise that we can count on to keep us moving toward the light. You see, you're not becoming the light from being a mortal to being the light. You can never do that. You're forgetting about the mortal. You're dropping that. You're taking no thought for that. And in the silence, you're becoming aware of this perfect light presence. So you're not becoming something that you aren't already. But you are becoming aware of what you are already. And again, the secret is in your conscious awareness, your consciousness. And so your consciousness is being transformed from mortal consciousness, which seeks and strives and tries to hoard, to immortal consciousness, which knows my Father is perfect, and his creation is perfect. And now I will be still and watch that perfection unfold. But as many as received him, now you all know that that's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, scripture. He says, oh, there were few who understood him. As many as received him, now that means a very special thing. Your acknowledgement that the light of Christ is in you, that's how you receive it. Yes, your conscious awareness of it makes it real. You have a realization. It makes it real. The Christ within you is telling you, as many as receive me, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God. You become the living Son of God by receiving the Christ light within you. And you already are the Son of God because the Christ doesn't come into you. The Christ must be in you now. Do you understand that? The outer Jesus is the universal inner Christ, and as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to be sons of God. Do you see the secret message? The way it's tied up? Anyone who receives the inner Christ is the Son of God. And you receive it simply by acknowledging it and listening for it, and the world doesn't know it. You can do this on a subway, on a bus, on a train. You can do this in the cafeteria at work. He says you have to open your consciousness to it. When you receive the Christ, you are awake to the Christ. And then you are awake to the fact that you are truly the living Son of the living God. Now, Herb says, I want to meditate at this moment because there's something powerful, so powerful that we want to feel the essence of it. Yes, there's something very powerful right here and now. Your rebirth will be when you accept Christ within and you become the divine light of God. That will be rebirth when the light is actually received in your consciousness. And then you are the light, reborn to the light. This is what is in store for you. In the soul realm, you'll learn all about the light. And when you're ready to expand, you'll meet your own spirit. This will engender a birth from the union of your spirit and your soul coming together. And this finally will be the seventh realm. And that's the final birth of the light in you. You must begin to identify as the light in order for your soul realm to open. So, a meditation on I am the light of the world would be in order, wouldn't it? There, your light is further unmasked, and that draws the spirit to your soul. These are holy times, and by then you're far out of mortality. It's gone. And Christ is slowly being born in you. This Christ becomes the Christ that God made at the beginning, in the seventh heaven, before the descent and the reascension. It's a glorious time. It's a challenging work. And it's the identical challenge for all of us. All power is in the Son. And it's not Jesus, it's the power of Christ. It's a power to maintain the perfection of God's universe. You see, this is the second birth, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You feel your mortality when you're willing to let it melt out of existence as you receive the light. You dwell in the light, and this is your birth foreshadowed because it's not happening yet. It's going on to the fifth realm, and you're not in it yet, but you're aware that it exists. That's in the fifth realm that you're now preparing for. It's called the mystical marriage of spirit and soul. In the sixth realm, and out of that marriage, out of that union, out of that oneness between your soul and your spirit, you move into the second birth, the birth of Christ in you. Many of the people we heal all owe the healing to Christ in us, and Christ in them. But there's one thing you should know, that they are healing us as we heal them, because they are making us bring forth our Christhood. You are trying to realize your Christhood, and that is the purpose of life, to realize your immortal Christ self. As you move up, Christ becomes the only life you have. You're changing your concept of life. The new life, the real life, born of spirit and soul, made possible as you receive the light within, brings you into a realm where the laws of God abide without opposite. Immortality goes. Immortality takes its place. And that is precisely what Jesus meant when he said his disciples would lose their life in order to gain their life. That is what you are learning to do now. Let's be still, hold the silence, find that inner Christ. each of us is given the opportunity to proceed swiftly to the light. We can keep this mortal form if we wish, by worrying about things of this world, or we can focus our attention on those things that will enable us to prove our willingness to submit to the light, and not try to alter the light, to live by the word of God, which is the light. The light in my consciousness is ready. It has been there eternally. I must listen to find it, to find out what the light expects of me, what it wants me to do now. I'll get all the information I need from the inner light, and then I will proceed about living the light. The light has anticipated the questions I would ask. It has prepared a way for me in the wilderness. And that is the chapter in its entirety. Class 6, Light Bodies. So I hope you are getting from this what it is that you're doing on the spiritual path. If you're still at the place where you are hoping to improve your finances, or you're hoping to have a better companion, or you're hoping to have better lungs, a better heart, better kidney, then you are really a beginner. Herb Fitch gave classes for students he assumed were advanced. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we have experiences that other students don't. Oh, we may, but that's not what it means. No, advanced means we have stopped seeking for ourselves, and now we're just seeking for the truth. We're looking to let the truth take over, and we're not seeking for people, places, and things for ourselves. That makes you advanced, because you've stepped out of trying to add to your mortality. Instead, you're trying to put on immortality. Now, putting on immortality, as you know, means to go within, dip into the clear, cold well within you, and come out with that spiritual grace which reveals itself to you as an omnipresence. That omnipresence is your presence everywhere. And that omnipresence is your immortality. And so when you go within and you drop your mortality, and for a while you take no thought, then the bridegroom cometh. The eternal, infinite presence, omnipresence, comes and reveals itself. It floods your being, or it rests in your spirit, or your spirit rests in your soul. This is the immortality you were looking for. A mortal cannot be immortal, but this presence can and is already immortal. This is your true identity. It's not wanting anything at any time. It already is. So, I have something here I wanted to read to you. Let me find it. Yes. This is The Fourth Dimension of Life by Joel Goldsmith. It was originally 40 cents. Just think, 40 cents and you can have eternal life. He says here, you become the vehicle through which life, capital L, lives itself. You become the messenger carrying the divine message. You will know that you are no longer living your life, but that the presence and power is living it, and you are its instrument, its mode of expression, its avenue of its activity. And of course, you will now understand why the Master could say, I and the Father are one, but the Father is greater than I. Now he says, this is not duality or separation. And I say to you the same thing. The idea that this mortal must put on immortality is not duality. This is not going back to the belief of God and man, since we have learned that God manifests itself as individual you and me. But this reveals that I, God, being the infinite universal divine principle of life, appears as individual you and me, so that truly I and the Father are one. The inner manifests and expresses itself as the outer individual. And isn't that just what Herb said to us a minute ago? And so it's all about taking the mask off, this mask of mortality. Here is a man, he is 69, he is 5'8 and a half, he is too many pounds. You thought I was going to tell you, didn't you? He's too many pounds. And that's a judgment there too, isn't it? So he has a mind that sometimes becomes critical and judgmental. All of that is the mortal. That's the mask. I don't want to enter into that. I don't want to encourage that. But I'm not bad if I accidentally forget and do enter into that. This is not about being good and not being bad. This is about being the present, the inner light. We must let that light, the inner light, manifest outwardly as you and I. You can make a game out of it. I used to do that. I worked in a factory where there was a big clock up on the wall, and everybody could see it from all over the factory so that we wouldn't be late after taking a 15-minute break in the morning. And I made use of that. Every time I looked up and an hour had passed, I would get quiet for a moment, take a deep breath, and say, Thy will be done. It's your ball game. It's your show. And I would invite this inner presence to flow through me. And miraculous things started to happen right there on the floor of that factory. And I've told you about some of them. One of the most fantastic things to me was I had to build these digital magnetic tape drives, and part of the assembly required some soldering with the soldering iron. And I would get down there and solder that connection and do it for 15 units. And the lady inspector would come and look at it, and she would reject 14 of them. Why? Because I didn't know how to solder. And I tried. I saw my buddy do it. And he was quick and fast and efficient. And I didn't know how he was doing. I was really becoming frustrated and really angry at myself. So finally I went into the bathroom. I sat down. I got quiet. And I released the whole thing to God. I guess I'll never learn how. Then I went out and I took one of the units that she had rejected and I put the solder in my mouth, sticking out, and the soldering iron in my hand, and I held the piece of the wires in my other hand, and I touched the solder and the soldering iron to the piece all at the same time, and it went bloop and just flowed on there just as pretty as you ever saw. And so I took the next one to correct it, and bloop, same thing. And the next one, bloop. And pretty soon I had 15 of these bloops, and they were all perfect. The inspector passed them all. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was doing it. It just suddenly came. And so if you ever have something that you need to learn, if you will release it and let God show you, you'll, next thing you know, you'll be doing it. That was fantastic for me, because I had struggled and beat myself up about it. And then all of a sudden, bloop, it just flowed right on like I'd been doing it forever. It's amazing the things that happen when you walk in the fourth dimension. Which you do if you are allowing this Christ within you to live. Well, I've got it up to 47 minutes. I think that's about as much as I can do. So if I think of something else, I'll add it later. But for now, again, thank you so much for the flowers and the cards and the money and the gifts and everything that you have sent. I appreciate it. And I'm going to go rest now and just be still. God bless you.